prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
And I'd like you to stop for a moment, collaborate, and listen, because truth is back. But we're on the same mission as every week.
Uh-huh.
And that is to show that faith and reason can meet together.
Right. And, you know, this is the basis of our show. You know, we try, even though we do get off track every once in a while and discuss other interesting topics, our basic thing, man, is can faith and reason coexist? And we believe so.
Well, but maybe we're wrong, and that's what we're talking about today.
We're not wrong. We're not wrong.
Maybe science and religion conflict, and today's topic is the ways of relating science and religion.
Right, and there are some people that believe that science and faith do not coexist.
No, they believe there's an inherent conflict there.
Right.
And there's actually, we're going to look at four different views by a guy named Ian Barber, who he just passed away not too long ago, but he was an eminent scholar from Yale University with a PhD in physics. We're going to look at an article of his. This is going to be kind of the basis of it. Don't worry, okay. I'm not going to read the article, much of it. It's 20-some pages the article is, and then he's got books about the subject, and we're just going to kind of sum up what he talked about a little bit. But we also we're going to try to resolve a Bible contradiction today.
I don't think we're going to try. I think we're going to do, as Yoda says.
You're awfully optimistic.
As Yoda says, there is no try.
There is only do.
Do or do not.
Or do not.
Right.
Not that we like Star Wars. We are not nerds.
Mm.
Crickets. Anyway, so we are going to do this show. We also have a listener question today, rather lengthy listener question. Mm. One that Dave said beforehand. Mm-hmm. That's deep.
So, it is. It's very deep.
And also, come on out to Revolution Church, 9 o'clock and 11:15 every Sunday morning if you're in Salina, Kansas.
Yeah.
If you are listening outside of Salina, Kansas, you can watch live online.
Or you can make the trek. We don't care.
No, you can drive 2 hours.
Come on. We like out of state.
I mean, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you driving here? So anyway, Salina, Kansas, 9 o'clock, 11:15 at Revolution Church. But let's jump into this. I mean, what's the deal? Can science and religion get along? I was on an atheist Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and
starts laughing.
I saw this quote. I find it funny. I shouldn't find it funny. I should be offended, but I don't think Christians should be offended.
Right.
I think so. I just laugh. It's funny. They gave a quote, and it was supposed to be by a Christian.
Okay.
It was a fake quote. They were saying this is what a Christian would say, and the quote is, "I don't know much about." Sorry, it's so funny. I don't know much about science except that it's wrong.
Wow.
Now,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, Christians shouldn't get offended about stuff like that because you know what? A lot of Christians do that to Christians.
Oh, right. You know? And the reality is we have to ask ourselves if we've lived in such a way that would make people think that about us.
And the whole thing is you shouldn't.
Be living that way.
Yeah, we should not be living that way in the way that makes Christians look like we're hayseeds from middle America.
And atheist Chapman Cohen had said this, "Gods are fragile things. They may be killed by a whiff of science or a dose of common sense."
Yeah, I've heard that one before. And it's ignorance, you know, because... I think that we do the research.
Mm-hmm.
We delve into the subject very deeply. And I think since two and a half years we've been doing this, my faith has just shot through the roof. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so
are you a scientist?
No, I'm not.
Maybe it's because you don't understand science.
That could be. Nice way to play the devil's advocate there, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, according to Hans Kung, theology is a science because theology is not a search for poetic truth, but a search for absolute truth. Theology wants hard facts about its subject matter, not simply notions or idyllic misty ideas.
Well, it is an ology.
Now, isn't that interesting, though? I mean, he's essentially saying theology...
Mm-hmm.
Like science is searching for hard facts about reality. We want to know who God really is, not just some misty, untenable feeling.
Right. And I believe that is true. If you are a seeking Christian that isn't satisfied with what they've mm-hmm. been taught,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
search. And we believe that you will always find the truth, and that truth is in Jesus Christ, as we have found ourselves. So,
and that's the goal, is ultimately. To lead back to Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the ultimate goal is to find truth. We believe that truth is found in Jesus Christ. That we believe he is the truth.
Right.
And so that's why we say when we do theology, we're actually seeking absolute truth. We're seeking the very same thing science is, which is what is the answer to reality? How are things really? Now, Ian Barber, in his article about science and religion, he says there's really four different views on how science and Christianity relate. And the first one is conflict.
Okay.
Science and Christianity are incompatible, he says, and they disagree on issues. So he's basically saying they're at odds with one another. They cannot be reconciled. You got science on one side, you got faith on the other side. And the author puts it this way.
In a fight between a boa constrictor and a warthog, the victor, whichever it is, swallows the vanquished.
Ouch.
In scientific materialism, science swallows religion. In biblical literalism, religion swallows science.
Okay, so if you are a scientist, you kill religion. If you are a biblical literalist, you kill science because science is your enemy.
That makes us sad.
That does make us sad. Moment of silence. That is so sad.
It is.
Okay, because that's not what we agree with. We're going to talk about why here in just a minute. Okay, we don't think science and religion conflict. The second piece is called independence, and the author has said this.
One way to avoid conflicts between science and religion is to view the two enterprises, I like the way he says,
enterprises.
Yeah, as totally independent and autonomous. Each has its own distinctive domain and its characteristic methods that can be justified on its own terms. Proponents of this view say there are two jurisdictions and each party must keep to their own turf. Each must tend to its own business and not meddle in the affairs of the other.
Okay, and I think this is where a lot of Christians might be and a lot of scientists might be.
I agree.
They say, well, look, I'm a scientist, so you know I'm going to do my science thing at work, and I'm also a Christian, so I'm going to do my Christian thing at church. But they're totally different than each other. They don't cross over. And so that's a possible answer there.
I see a lot of people. I see a lot of people live that way, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
You know, so.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's independence. The third thing is dialogue. And on many issues in dialogue, it's possible for science and religion to agree with each other, is what we're saying. They can share some information. Sometimes they can use each other to further knowledge or to study some concepts that maybe they didn't grasp all on their own. So they're having a conversation here, and the author puts it this way.
Some theologians have taken the accumulating evidence for the Big Bang Theory as corroboration of the biblical view that the universe had a beginning in time, which would be a welcome change after the conflicts in the past.
Right. One of the things that drives me nuts when Christians talk about the Big Bang, you're like, I don't believe in the Big Bang. I believe in God.
Right.
I'm like, well, did you actually know that when scientists first discovered this potential Big Bang, they didn't like the idea because it implied that there was a beginning to the universe?
This is a problem.
Yeah, just like Christians said. Mm-hmm. So when the Big Bang came out, Christians should have been like, booyah!
Right. I think the problem that a lot of people have with science is the fact that evolution is a part of science, or, you know, it is has its niche in science, and I think people are scared by that.
I don't know. Yeah, and then you've got the fourth way, which is called integration. So far we have conflict, which is they don't get along.
Right.
Independence, which is they just each do their own thing. Dialogue, which is every once in a while they can talk to each other about something. And then the fourth one is integration. Now, just so you know, full disclosure, this is where Truth Revolution Radio Show kind of sits.
As if you didn't know.
The author of the article says this.
The final group of authors holds that some sort of integration is possible between the content of theology and the content of science. There are three distinct versions of integration. In natural theology, it is claimed that the existence of God can be inferred from the evidence of design in nature, of which science has made us more aware.
Mm-hmm.
In a theology of nature, the main sources of theology lie outside science, but scientific theories may affect the reformulation of certain doctrines, particularly the doctrines of creation.
Mm-hmm.
In a systematic... Stop it.
Systematic, but it's so good!
In a systematic synthesis, both science and religion contribute to the development of an inclusive in an inclusive metaphysics such as that of process philosophy. Now you're going to have to explain that last time.
I don't know if we'll ever get there today. But okay, so you see,
I'll just pull you aside. We'll have a private conversation.
We've got conflict. They don't get along with each other. And this is a really, really stringent mainstream view for certain types of atheists. But the problem is that if you are in this category of conflict, you basically are a scientific materialist, and you are at the opposite end of the theological spectrum from the biblical literalist.
Right.
Okay, so you've got the two extremes here, and Ian Barber says, but they share several characteristics, these opposite people.
Mm-hmm.
That lead me to discuss them together. Both believe there are serious conflicts between contemporary science and classical religious beliefs. Both seek knowledge with a sure foundation, that of logic and sense data, and in one case, that of infallible scripture in the other. They both claim that science and theology make rival literal statements about the same domain, the history of nature, and it goes on and stuff like that. He says, I will suggest that each represents a misuse of science. Both positions fail to observe the proper boundaries of science. The scientific materialist starts from science, but ends by making broad philosophical claims. This is important, okay?
Okay.
All right. The biblical literalist moves from theology to make claims about scientific matters. In both schools of thought, the differences between the two disciplines are not adequately respected. Okay, for instance, what you have with the some of the people who take theology way too, I almost said too seriously.
I was about ready to be like, what?
You can't take it too seriously, but the people who take it outside of its domain, you know, they will read something in the Bible and they will try to read that as though the Bible is a science book. If you're reading the Bible, put your microscope down. I don't mean you don't study it in depth, you do, but put the microscope down. You're not reading a science textbook. You're reading literature written from one person to another person. It's not describing how science works. It's describing how God works, how the universe works in a spiritual sense.
Right.
There are going to be some science truths in there, but what they can do is they take this biblical truth and then they extrapolate and try to say what science should discover. And maybe that's not the truth. Maybe that's not what the Bible's trying to say at all.
Right. And we're here to say that if scripture and science are at odds, then somebody's doing some misinterpreting.
Yes.
Is that even a word?
Misinterpreting?
Yeah.
It is now.
Okay.
Okay, you English majors, your job right now this week is to insert misinterpreting into your dictionaries.
Yeah.
All right. This, Ian Berber goes on, he says, scientific materialism, so now on the other hand, it's not just the theologians, but the scientific materialism makes two assertions. Number one, that scientific method is the only reliable path to knowledge.
Mm.
And number two, that matter is the fundamental reality in the universe. Now, this is an epistemological assertion.
A what? Gesundheit?
Epistemology is a study of knowledge.
Okay.
Okay. An assertion is something you're putting out there.
I knew what assertion was. Thank you.
Very good. Next, I'm going to talk about the color green. And you spell that G. Oh, I'm just kidding. Okay, so
double E-N, I got it.
An epistemological assertion is he's making an assertion about what he knows, about truth, about falsehood, but he's making a huge assumption here, the scientific materialist. His assumption is that the scientific method is the only way to gain knowledge. That's the most reliable way to gain knowledge.
Well, and that may be true in his own mind because that's all he's ever known.
Well, right, but it's funny because you can't even get to the scientific method by using the scientific method.
Okay, explain.
Well, what is the scientific method?
Well, you got to study and you got to have control groups and
you study, you test, you repeat, you hypothesize. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do all these things, but that's not. I mean, you had to start with that scientific method. It's not as though you have a method of finding truth that produces the scientific method.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You started with the scientific method.
Right. to find truth. There's some assumptions there. Maybe there's other ways to find truth besides the scientific method.
And we think we found it.
Well, we think, yes. I mean, we think we know that the religion, there is some truth there, especially spiritual truths. Especially the second thing, matter isn't the only fundamental reality. There are other realities out there. There are spiritual realities. There are non-material realities. There are non-corporeal realities. All right, so on the other side of this show, we're going to hit a Bible contradiction. We're going to continue this. We're going to look at very briefly independence and dialogue, and we're going to talk about integration, about how religion and science actually integrate with each other.
All right. Sounds like fun.
We got a lot of work to do and very little time on the other side of this show.
Right.
Coming out to Revolution Church.
Right. That'll be your Sundays at 9 and 11:15.
And you can watch online. Just go over to truthrevolution.tv and look us up there. Also, you can listen to our radio show. So head over there, truthrevolution.tv. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the ways we read scriptures with a Christocentric hermeneutic. What does that mean?
Basically put, we see Jesus as the pinnacle, the climax, the mountaintop of all scripture. And we read and interpret scripture that way.
The Old Testament isn't merely a collection of writings explaining how things used to be.
Not at all. It's like a highway driving towards that moment in history when Christ appears. When we understand salvation history in terms of everything pointing towards Christ, the Old Testament is much more relevant.
And the New Testament epistles aren't merely theology books.
Thank you. They do contain deep theology, but it's a reflection on what Jesus had done and how that works out.
This fits together with our knit together part of the cracked acronym.
Right. Reading scripture with Jesus as the apex of revelation allows us to make sense of how he's seen in scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus isn't just the most powerful prophet. He's God in flesh, whom all scripture points to.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Yep.
From that break.
All right, so we talked quite briefly about why we don't think that science and religion conflict. We show that people kind of make some assumptions there to make that confliction.
Right. And it's let's be honest, it's assumptions from both sides.
Absolutely.
Science is not innocent, and neither are Christians that are just totally closed-minded.
Right. When you believe it conflicts, it's because you basically believe that your method is the only real way to find truth.
Right.
There's no other ways. The theologian says, I've got my Bible, and there's no other ways to find truth. And the scientist says, I got my microscope, and there's no other way to find truth.
But let's be honest, there's different types of truths out there, you know. We have in theology,
or different ways of obtaining truth.
Right.
Yeah.
But in theology, I mean, we have the spiritual truth, which science, not a lot of scientists see. And then in science, we have actual physical real truth, which some Christians refuse to see.
Right. So. Well, and interesting from a theological perspective, we have this thing called general revelation. And general revelation is something theologians have believed for millennium, which is that we can know God through nature and even understanding who he is.
Yeah, it even says so in the Bible, that God has put things in the heaven for us to see his works and to know who he is.
Yeah, he has been clearly seen, but understood by what was made,
right,
is what the Bible says. That's absolutely right. So, all right, so now the second thing is independence. And You know, this is where you kind of see science and religion doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's okay. I don't want to spend very much time talking about this because we're going to really promote integration. But essentially, you know, a problem with independence is that you've neither said that you know the truth and they don't, or you've also not said we both know the truth. You're basically putting your glasses on that stop you from seeing anything else, and you say, well, I see it this way and I really don't care who else sees it.
You totally pigeonhole everything.
Right. It just doesn't it doesn't make sense for me to say, well, I find truth in science over here this way, and I find truth in religion over here this way, and I don't want those two to touch because that's scary. And I'm overstating what this really is.
But you're
that's essentially what it boils down to. Yeah. And then you got dialogue. Yeah, and this one, you know, I mean, it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. You know, people, they can talk and they can share ideas.
Mm-hmm. It's like science and religion have been separated for a while, and now they're getting back on talking terms.
You know, terms.
It's so good to see them talking again, making some dialogue.
Yes, it's, you know, great. It was nice. They broke up for a while, but you know they were never.
Right. But we are.
They were never frenemies.
We are totally all about the whole integration. We want them to get totally back together.
That's right. So, but in this dialogue, the author, Ian Barber, he says, I believe that the case for the historical contribution of Christianity to the rise of science is convincing. But once science was well established, its own success was sufficient justification for many scientists without the need for religious legitimation. You know what I'm saying?
Making it legitimate. So, yeah, the forefathers of scientific thought actually created a monster.
Yeah, it's essentially. And you look in history and you realize, wow, there was this integration. And so science really grew up. Now science is in its own right, just like theology is in its own right. But now scientists are saying, and so we don't need you, religion, anymore. Right. We find truth on our own. And so they dialogue, they talk to each other, but they've both grown up and they don't need each other anymore.
Right.
You know, but it's interesting. Is that historians have wondered why modern science arose in Judeo-Christian West among all world cultures. A good case can be made that the doctrine of creation, I'm reading this from him, doctrine of creation helped to set the stage for scientific activity. Both Greek and biblical thought asserted that the world is orderly and intelligible. But the Greeks held that this order is necessary and therefore one can deduce its structure from first principles. It is not surprising that they were stronger in mathematics and logic than in experimental science. Only biblical thought held that the world's order is contingent rather than necessary. If God created both form and matter, the world did not have to be as it is, and one has to observe it to discover the details of its order. Moreover, while nature is real and good, it is not itself divine, as many ancient cultures held. Humans are therefore permitted to experiment on nature. So really, it was only the Christian biblical view that allowed people to both experiment on the world and come to the conclusion that the world is orderly and was put that way by another being.
So basically, it busted it open for the common folk to be able to say, hey, look, let's go check this out and see how it works.
Yes, which is why science only took off to the extent that it did in Christian cultures. All right, we're going to do the Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today, brought to you by the fine folks at thethinkingatheist.com.
Okay.
They want to know who carried Jesus' cross. Who carried Jesus' cross? Mark 15, 20b through 24a says, and led them out to crucify him, and they compel one Simon of Cyrene, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross.
Okay.
In John 19, 16 through 18, then they delivered him before therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, and that's where they crucified him. So they say Jesus carried the cross. Now, I know what you can say, Jeff.
You do?
Yeah. Because I'm starting to think in the cracked acronym.
Good. So, good. Well, in the cracked acronym, we use the letter D to talk about dialect. Okay. We use all kinds of different ways to talk about literature. And one of those things we do is hyperbole. We blow things up bigger than they are. Another thing we do is we minimize. We ignore things that aren't a big deal to us. It doesn't mean that we aren't telling the truth. It just means when I'm bragging the history of whatever, the state of Kansas, I may not mention something that someone else did right. because I don't think it's a big deal, but they thought it was a big deal. Okay, neither one of us are wrong. So you have the book of Mark describing how someone else carried the cross for Jesus. Mark thought that was a big deal.
Right.
You have the book of John, and in his dialect, in his language, his literary expression, he doesn't think it's a big deal to explain that Simon
right.
carried the cross. So he just doesn't mention it.
It may have been a minute detail for him.
Exactly.
Because his overall thinking was, hey, Jesus was crucified.
That's right. And what he doesn't say, Jesus carried the cross and no one else carried it.
Right.
I mean, that would be a contradiction. But that's not what he says. Right. You know, he just says, okay, so Jesus carried his cross and you know they went forth to a place. He doesn't say no one else did it. I mean, and so you have to, the literary expression, I don't have to include every detail that someone else includes, mm-hmm. and it can still be true. This is not a contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
And that was a Bible contradiction for today.
Did you know it was going to go like that?
I knew it was going to go like that somehow.
You did not.
I did too, I start, like I said earlier, I start thinking in the cracked acronym. You know,
yeah.
I may not always pick out the exact letter you're going to use for the cracked acronym, but I'm like, hey, that doesn't seem
it
like
just starts to
right.
show up.
Yeah,
it just starts to show up. That's the whole point of the cracked acronym, mm-hmm. is to get us used to thinking critically about what we read,
right.
to start thinking in context automatically, to start thinking in dialect automatically, to start thinking in what have you.
Hey, it's working.
So it is. Awesome. It works. We had an idea and it works.
We need to use acronyms for everything.
I just want you to start making acronyms with ridiculous words. Flubbed. PHLUBBED.
Oh, please.
This is how we solve science and religion. The P stands for process theology.
All right.
Okay. That's all right. So anyway, we're into
kill that bunny.
Whether or not science can be integrated with religion, and we think there's four different categories. There's conflict, where they disagree. There's independence, where they just do their own thing. Mm-hmm. There's dialogue, where hey, they talked, but you know they're both grown ups. Right. They don't need each other. But then there's integration, which is fundamentally what we believe.
Right. You can't separate the two.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're both going after the truth, mm-hmm. and we both can use each other. We don't want to say that we have all the truth. We know that science has truth, and we want to borrow the truth from them.
Amen.
And we know that we have truth, and we want to inform scientists with our truth. And you know what? There's some back and forth here that can happen, a lot more than just dialogue, because we're not just saying, hey, here's a little idea, go with it. We're saying, hey, let's discuss what is the nature of reality.
Right, and it's funny, because when you start doing that, you get dialogue going between science and religion, and all of a sudden we start liking each other.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Well, wait a minute,
you had a good idea. You know, Ian Berber says there are dangers if either scientific or religious ideas are distorted to fit a preconceived synthesis that claims to encompass all reality. We must always keep in mind the rich diversity of our experience. Right. I am not only a spiritual being, I have a mind that can study mm-hmm. nature. I'm not only a physical body, I have a soul that can experience non-corporeal realities. He goes on, he says, we distort it if we cut up into separate realms or watertight compartments, but we also distort it if we force into a neat intellectual system.
Right.
A coherent vision of reality can still allow for the distinctiveness of differing types of experience. So that's what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about allowing the distinctiveness of differing types of experience, while at the same time working with each other, allowing the differences to exist, and it just being cool with that.
Right. Well, here's the thing, is if you close your mind off mm-hmm. to one form of knowledge, you will never be able to gain any kind of knowledge from that kind of thought.
That's right. That's right.
So,
yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to do a listener question really quick. I know it's going to push up against the end of it, but let's do this listener question before we leave today.
Okay. I got a question. All right, listener question today.
Let's read it fast, Mom.
This is crazy deep. All right. I am a Christian. Well, I think I may still be. Maybe more of an agnostic right now. Anyway, my mom was always a believer in reincarnation, and I have been thinking a lot about that lately, about the whole point of life on earth is under the Christian view.
Let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah, there are countless babies.
He wants to know, if a baby dies and goes to heaven, why do we even have to live life?
Right.
What's the point?
What's the point of life?
And the answer is, God created us to have physical bodies and life. A baby who dies and goes to heaven we might say, oh, well, look, it was fine. Just go to heaven. It's mm-hmm. nothing, not a big deal. But we were created to have life on earth, to build up rewards for the next life here on earth. This life, this physical body, is what God created us to do. Heaven, in one sense, is unnatural. We're going to have a new earth that where we take on bodies forever. And these babies are deprived of many things. Although they do go to heaven, they're deprived of a life. They're deprived right. of the physical experience. They're deprived of a genuine life where they build up rewards in heaven and learn to love Jesus through the processes that he intended. So they miss out on a lot.
Yes.
All right, Truth Evolution, thanks for listening. Go to truthevolution.tv. Check out Revolution Church and the website. Thanks for listening.